appreciate that. Just remain standing, if you will. Turn in your Bible to the book of Leviticus, chapter number 18. Old Testament book of Leviticus. We'll be reading from. Amen. I picked on Brother Philip. I ought to give him some commendation. He does a good job leading the singing. I do appreciate that. Amen. And I'm glad he is feeling better. And amen. I appreciate that song, Joy Unspeakable. Amen. That's what Peter talked about. Amen. Joy unspeakable and full of glory. And that's what salvation is. Amen. Leviticus chapter number 18. And if you found that, hold your place there. We're going to come back and read quite a bit. I'm going to read two verses in 2 Corinthians. So hold your place in Leviticus 18 and turn to 2 Corinthians. I'm going to be dealing mainly with Leviticus 18, but two verses or two texts here in 2 Corinthians that I want to show you. Verse number, or chapter number 5, 2 Corinthians chapter number 5, and verse number 17. Thank you, Brother Steve. Amen. 2 Corinthians 5:17, probably very familiar. Most every one of us could quote it. But the Bible says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. I just want to simply say that when a person gets saved, God changes everything about them. Amen. Everything changes when a person gets saved. And then there's some things we got to work on and we got to change. Amen. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse number 17. Wherefore come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Chapter 7 verse 1, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. So he said, we're the ones got to cleanse it. We're the ones got to come out from some things. God saved us out, but then we got to come out from some things. Amen. And we've got to cleanse ourselves from something. You know why? Because when God saved you, you was clean. But dirt has a way of grabbing back hold of us. Amen. We have a way of getting back contaminated again. We're living in a contaminated world, and it'll contaminate us if we don't constantly keep a watch and cleanse ourselves from those things. Matter of fact, I wrote down there where he said, let me get back over there. He said, come out from among them and be ye separate. What do we got to come out from? Well, he just said in verse 14, talk about come out from among believers. He said, come out from among unrighteousness. He said, come out from among darkness. All that in verse number 14. Don't have anything to do with that. Verse number 15, we come out from Belial. That's emptiness and vanity and wrongheadedness. Then come out from among infidels. All those in verse 15. And then verse 16, come out from among idols. Amen. Don't get caught up in this American Idol movement. Amen. Amen. Or any of these other movements, but don't have idols in your life. Amen. Don't make the preacher your idol. Amen. Don't make mom and dad your idol. Don't have idols. Amen. Look to the Lord. That's what he's talking about. All right, Leviticus chapter 18, and I'll start with verse number 1. And I'll just read a few verses. I'm going to cover every verse in this chapter. There's 30 verses. I'm not going to read them all right now. We will as we go along. But I'll just start off with a few. Verse number 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, I am the Lord your God. Look at verse 3. This is primarily where I want to get. After the doings of the land of Egypt, wherein ye dwelt, that's past tense, shall ye not do. And after the doings of the land of Canaan, whither I bring you. That's that new life, that promised land life. He said, wherein I bring you, or whither I bring you, shall ye not do, neither shall ye walk in their ordinances. Ye shall do my judgments and keep mine ordinances to walk therein. I am the Lord your God. Ye shall therefore keep my statutes and my judgments, which if a man do, he shall live in them. I am the Lord. Amen. I'll stop there in verse number 5. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. I'll ask Brother Hall if he would lead us in prayer, please. Yes, Jesus. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Yes. Yes. Yes, Lord. Help us, Lord. Yes. Yes. Amen. Amen. Thank you for that prayer. Thank you for standing. You can be seated. Amen. I'm preaching today on this thought, a command to be different. A command to be different. He said, if you're saved, any man be in Christ, that's saved, he is a new creature. God made us different when he saved us. You're not the old man you used to be. Amen. Amen. Now, I know Alcoholics Anonymous says that once a drunk, always a drunk. Somebody said AA ought to stand for always an alcoholic. God doesn't work that way. When God saves drunks, they're not drunks anymore. Amen. When God saves sinners, they're not sinners anymore. They become saints of God. Amen. It doesn't mean they don't sin, but it means they're a new creature in Christ Jesus. They're not the same old man they used to be. God changes them. But, as I said, there's things in our life that we got to work on. We still live around some of the same people. Those old habits, they die hard, as they say. Those old things will creep in if we're not careful. That's one reason when you get saved, you need to change crowds. Amen. Quit going down to the beer joint and hanging out with that crowd. Even if you're not drinking, don't hang around with them. Amen. Don't hang around with that cussing crowd. Even if you're not cussing, don't hang around with that crowd. Amen. Get in the church. Get in the crowd that's serving God, the crowd that loves the Lord Jesus. Amen. That's the crowd you need to get in. Come out from among them. And so he talks here in Leviticus. I know you know the story about the situation that Israel had, as a nation, had been delivered from Egyptian bondage. They'd learned a lot of bad things down in Egypt. They'd got associated, comfortable, tolerant of a lot of bad things down in Egypt. God said, I'm taking you into another land and I don't want you doing like you did down there. I don't want you doing like they're doing down there. Amen. Matter of fact, he's taking them into a promised land, but that promised land was inhabited, and they're going to leave some of them inhabitants there, by the way, inhabited by wicked, ungodly, unconverted, immoral people. And he said, Don't let those people corrupt your morals. Don't let those people corrupt the principles that I have put in your heart and I've saved you and changed you. Don't let them draw you down. And I'm going to tell you, even in the house of God, when new converts get in, it's easy for them to find people that's still doing some of those old things or that have gone back to some of those old things like a dog returning to its vomit. Amen. And that's exactly what it is. It's returning back to the puke, those things that we should never want. Amen. In our life again. But it's easy for them to line back up. And so I'm going to preach today a topical message using these verses as my text and using it as the groundwork. But I'm going to preach expositorily from chapter number 18 of the book of Leviticus. Now, I did have New Testament. I'll have more New Testament verses later towards the close of my message because we're New Testament Christians. But the Old Testament is not obsolete to us. Amen. The Old Testament principles, these things were not written for us to throw in the trash. These things were written for our example. Amen. They're written for our ensample that we might learn from them and that we might fear lest we follow in the same path and fall in the same path. He says that over and over again in the scriptures. And so I am going to use some Old Testament verses and I'm not going to try to put you back under the Old Testament law, but you understand that the book of Leviticus is the giving of the law. Exodus chapter number 20, God gives what we know as the Ten Commandments. Moses read those, but there are many more than that. Moses read those, delivered those to the people. Leviticus is him working those things out, dealing with the intricate stuff about how they're getting ready to go into the promised land. And in just some short time, this crowd is moving into the promised land and he wants them to know the Word of God and the commandments of God, the judgments and the statutes that God said they are to walk in. And so I go back to this. God's telling Israel this fact that they're not to do like the Egyptians that they just come out from. Nor are they to do like the Canaanites among whom they're getting ready to dwell. Can I tell you that in America today, we've got Egyptians and Canaanites in America, spiritually speaking. Amen. Amen. We've got people that are doing the same ungodly things that the Egyptians were doing. And the same ungodly things that the Canaanites were doing. Amen. Matter of fact, let me go back to this. Most of us, most Americans, most of the crowd I'm preaching to right here in the auditorium, I don't know who I'm preaching to over the radio, but in the auditorium, most of us have a European background. Our forefathers came here from Europe. They came here, many of them, to have freedom of worship. Amen. To be able to worship God according to the dictates of the Word of God. Amen. Rather than to the dictates of a state church. Amen. Amen. But can I tell you that many Americans today are doing the same ungodly things that the Europeans were doing that we came out from. Those European nations are saturated with sodomy. Just look around America. Saturated with the same kind of stuff. They're saturated with socialism. And America is getting saturated with the same stuff, if I can say it that way. Amen. They're saturated with a godlessness. They're forsaking the house of God. Hey, you talk about Wales. Wales, the land of revival. Amen. Brother Downey out there trying to witness and work and been there for years and years and years. You remember when he was here last time? He said all those years he's been there, he's not had one convert, not one. He's rescued some churches, thank God. He's helped some older folks get in that wouldn't have somewhere to go if he wasn't there. But nobody seems to want God. Well, look around America. We're seeing the same thing here, amen, that if I can say our forefathers left in that foreign place, amen, from when they came out of Egyptian bondage, when they came out of the religious bondage into the liberty, amen, that we enjoy. But in America, there's Canaanites all over the land. I'm not liking the American Indians. That's what we're here when we came here. But I'm talking about, you just look around us today. You can come in church, and when you go out these doors, you're going to see people doing all kinds of ungodly, immoral, indecent things. Amen. In America, it seems like a lot of Christians dress the same way as those out there that's not even claiming to be Christians. They handle the same kind of talk. They live the same kind of lifestyle. Amen. They go through some of the same things that the ungodly crowd is doing. But Brother Sutherland said, I think it was Wednesday morning, Brother Sutherland said that he's talking about some of these independent Baptist brethren that used to be what we called our stripe. He said today they've gone off. They're not holding true to the King James Bible that they once held true to. They're not holding true to the standards they once held to. Amen. He said some of them, he said, mark her down. He said in 10 years or less, he said some of them will be telling their parishioners, if you want to say it that way, their congregation, that it's all right for them to smoke marijuana. He said they're already telling them it's all right to drink. Yeah. Amen. They're telling them it's all right to commit adultery. They're telling them it's all right to commit fornication. They're telling them it's all right to dabble in sin. Amen. Well, I'll say these things ought not so to be. Amen. Not among children of God. We ought not participate, even though the people around us are. We ought not participate in those things. So in the book of Leviticus, Moses gives the commandments of God. This fledgling government of Israel is getting ready to start up the nation. They've been the children of Israel. They've been a family down in Egypt, but God's making a nation out of them. Amen. And going to send them into that promised land. Amen. He's preparing them to govern themselves based on the Word of God. By the way, that's what we got to do. Amen. If you want to go out and commit adultery, God probably won't stop you. If you don't stop yourself, He's probably not going to stop you. Amen. I could name a million things that we could get involved in. Matter of fact, we was up here talking and talking about if Gehazi was saved, and then the question set, could a saved man do those things? Absolutely, a saved man could do those things. Amen. And God might not stop him. He said, we're to govern ourselves. Come ye out from among them. Amen. He didn't say, hang on, I'll jerk you out from among them. Amen. He said, I gave you two good legs, use them. Amen. I gave you the ability to get out. That's what he's saying. Amen. I gave you a new heart. I gave you a new life. I gave you new desires. Get out from that stuff. That's what he's talking about. Amen. And that's what I want to preach about if I can today. So we know about the giving of the Ten Commandments in Exodus chapter number 20, verse 17 verses. We know there were two tables of law. Those two tables were, most people break those down, four laws on the first table, which were from man to God. How that we're to look towards God, remember the Sabbath day, and make no other gods before him. All that, love the Lord thy God with all the heart. All that in those first four commandments between man and God. And then the second table had six commandments that's between man and man. Not to steal, not to kill, not to commit adultery, not all those things that's dealing with our relationship with man. Amen. And when Moses set up the law, and the way that our law is set up, by the way, as well, matter of fact, I know the Supreme Court and all these different ones they're talking about can't have the Ten Commandments on the courthouse. It is over the marquee, the header of the Supreme Court. It's behind the judges as well. They've got Moses holding those tablets of the Ten Commandments that are engraved and that are embraced by our forefathers. The same forefathers that talked about separation of church and state. They did not mean that we don't have a state that is sanctified and set apart by the Word of God. Amen. But what they're saying is that the state doesn't tell the church what to do. Amen. But in that setting up of the government, Baptists believe, it's a Baptist distinctive, matter of fact, believe that the government doesn't have the right to make sure you go to church on Sunday. The government doesn't have the right to tell you which God to worship. They don't have the right to legalize or illegalize or even to deal in those first four, that first table. That's not their job, but their job is to make sure we are good citizens of one another, no matter who you worship or if you worship at all. Amen. Their job is to regulate how we respond and react to one another. Amen. And that's what we're talking about. By the way, the second table of laws, what our laws are set upon, should be based upon the Word of God. Not just that we got legislators up there making up new rules. We don't need them making up new rules. We need them looking into the Word of God and directing our land in that way. Righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. Amen. If they'll hold up a righteous law again, amen, hold up a righteous law again, it will help our nation, amen. 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 So, and I could chase a million rabbits. Let me just throw one little, I get upset, they're making laws, for example, laws about what kind of bugs you can kill, what kind you can't. What kind of birds you can kill? What kind? I don't want people shooting American eagles, golden eagles. I don't want them shooting bald eagles. I don't want them doing that. But I also don't want them killing babies. Amen. And when a man does murder another man, I mean, they're too busy worrying about the spotted owls and worrying about all kinds of bugs and things than they are worrying about real biblical laws, amen, about taking somebody else's life or taking somebody else's property. Amen. Amen. Well, we need to get back to biblical laws. That's what I'm talking about. But I've got a few points I want to deal with today. In the previous chapters of the book of Leviticus, if you'd take time to read, don't have time right now, Moses has spoken to them about their devotion to Jehovah God. He's talking to them about that first table of the laws. He's talking to them about how they are to be devoted and set apart to God. By the way, you'll never make much in life, you'll never be much of a Christian if you don't get in your Bible and read your Bible and talk to God and go to the house of God and be devoted to God. Not just to do's and don'ts. Amen. Amen. Be devoted to the man that said do. Be devoted to the man that said don't. Amen. Get devoted to Jesus. Fall in love with Jesus. Amen. If you don't do that, you'll never amount to much as a Christian. But he comes in now he starts moving and talking about their relationship with one another. That's what chapter 18 starts with that. And you'll see it all through these texts. And look at verse number 6, and let me read a verse or two. None of you shall approach to any that is near to him, near of kin to him, to uncover their nakedness. I am the Lord. The nakedness of thy father or the nakedness of thy mother shalt thou not uncover. She is thy mother. Thou shalt not uncover her nakedness. So he's talking about how you relate to others. That relationship to others. You approach them. What you do, what you see, what you engage in with others is what he's going to deal with. So I want to use this to talk to us about Christians and how Christians ought to be. And recognize this, when people get saved today, they have been delivered from the clutches of sin, just like Israel had been delivered from the bondage of Egypt. Amen. But just like Israel, those Israelites had grown up around the Egyptians. They had, as I said, they had been so introduced to what was going on there that it was almost like it was just normal. And they had become so tolerant. And by the way, that's how Christians are today. They need to be instructed about how we ought to behave ourselves as children of God. Amen. That's what he's doing here. He's teaching them how to behave themselves as the nation of Israel. All right, so I've got about 4 points. First of all, they're not alliterated. Number one, my first point, some things must be unlearned. Amen. Look at chapter 18, verse 3, just the first part. After the doings of the land of Egypt wherein ye dwelt shall ye not do. I'm stopping right there. What you had learned back yonder, you're going to have to unlearn. Amen. Amen. Not only had the Israelites witnessed the immorality of Egypt, but they had come to consider such immorality as legal. It was all right. Matter of fact, if you look at, let me read that first part of chapter, verse 3. After the doings of the land of Egypt wherein ye dwelt shall ye not do. Look at the last phrase. Neither shall ye walk in their ordinances. The word ordinances deals with laws. Egypt had passed laws that made immoral things legal. Can you think about that in America? Sure you can. Passing laws saying that it's all right. Making an immoral lifestyle, quote unquote, legal. One of the things that got Dad in trouble there in Larned with his sign when they started busting his sign was that he put up the sign that said, just because they make it legal does not make it right. Amen. The Supreme Court can declare something legal that God said's not right. And they have, by the way. Amen. But these Egyptians had done that. Now today, many Americans have lived in immorality all their life. That's all they've known. Amen. I remember hearing a man say this years ago. He said, does a fish that's lived in water his whole life even know that he's wet? And he asked the question, does a person who's living in apostasy, totally surrounded by apostasy, even recognize the apostasy that's all around us? We've grown up in that. Amen. Some of those, I'm talking about people in our world today, have never known that the lifestyle they've lived in their whole life is wrong. They've never been told that it's wrong. Amen. It's so commonly practiced in their family, so commonly practiced in their neighborhood, so commonly practiced in their area, by the way, for generations now, that they don't know that there's anything wrong with it. God says in His laws that we're not supposed to disregard God's laws. Amen. We're not supposed to call evil good. We're not supposed to say it's okay when God said that it's wrong. Amen. We're not to contradict or pervert God's laws. Amen. Now, I just made a short list because I don't have all day. Well, I do, but you don't. Amen. All day to preach this, but I made a short list of some things that in our country, now they have made legal, but God has rejected. Our governmental system has embraced these things. First of all, I talk about common law marriage. When two people shack up together long enough to be declared or considered married, although they've never been married. Can I say to you that God forbids fornication? That's what sex outside of marriage is. Fornication. God condemns it. Amen. Even though U.S. law endorses it, God denounces it. Amen. Common law marriage, our society says it's okay, but the Bible doesn't. You'd be surprised how many people in America, and by the way, missionaries see it all the, especially in some foreign countries, they deal with people that have been, they've lived together for maybe 20 years and they've got children, but they've never been married because marriage is not considered important in their society. We're almost like that in America today. I remember Dad, one of the churches that he started in Kansas, there's a couple started coming. Dad's talking to them and mentioned about them. They came to him about wanting to join the church. And Dad said something about, and notice their last names weren't the same. They said, don't say anything to the kids. They don't know that we're not married. Now they're talking to a preacher about joining his church. They're talking to a preacher who uses the King James Bible. They're talking to a preacher that's preaching that is the Independent Baptist. Amen. And they're wanting to join the church, but they're not interested in getting married. What are they doing? They're shacking up. Amen. I know society says that's all right. According to the Bible, it's not all right. It's sin. It's sin. It's sinful activity. Amen. How about same-sex marriage? Not just common law marriage, how about same-sex marriage? That's where two men or two women attempt to be joined together in marriage. Amen. I wrote it this way, how can this unnatural and immoral union ever be classified as holy matrimony? It can't be done. Now, our government says it's okay, but God doesn't. God's word says it's perverted. God's law does not endorse it. Amen. God denounces perversion and denounces sodomy. Amen. So common law marriage, there's same sex. How about divorce and remarriage? Again, it's okay in society, and I'm not beating up on people. It's okay in society. People got the idea, ain't nothing wrong with it. Oh, yes, there is. It's not endorsed by the Bible. Jesus clearly stated, what therefore God hath joined together, let not man put asunder. He said that twice, by the way, because he meant it both times. Right. I'm not beating up on it, but I don't want anybody else falling for that same trap because it's hurtful. It's not helpful. Amen. Our society says it's okay. Happens all the time. But God doesn't endorse it. Amen. There are children and adults now, by the way, that have grown up their whole life in these immoral actions being endorsed, being practiced all around them. Many of them do not even know that those things are condemned by the Word of God. Amen. And then people get shocked at the quote-unquote judgmental attitude of the preacher that says something about it. Yeah. You'd be surprised how many people today, they don't think you ought to ever say anything about sin. Amen. It's like this. They say, you know, there's probably a monster under that bed, so don't look. Well, what's that going to do? When you go to sleep, it's going to get you. All you little kids worried about the monsters under the bed, look. And you'll find out that they might be some monster hairballs or dust balls or toys, amen. But there probably ain't monsters under the bed. But we're allowing that in our life. We're just saying, there's monsters under the bed, so we're not going to look. We're not going to say anything about it. We're going to pretend that it ain't there. Amen. Well, let me get back to my text here. I'm talking about some things got to be unlearned. Amen. Get away from those things. Amen. Well, the reason they think you're judging when you do that, because they've never heard it. They've never heard it. Amen. So for some people, when they get saved, they have to unlearn those common practices of that old Egyptian lifestyle. Amen. Number two, there's some things that got to be refused. I'm still in verse number 3 of chapter number 18. He says, after the doings of the land of Egypt, wherein ye dwelt, shall ye not do. And here's the next phrase. And after the doings of the land of Canaan, whither I bring you, shall ye not do. Neither shall ye walk in their ordinances. So he said, not only unlearn what you learned growing up, but you're going to be among other people now in a new land. You got to be careful. There's some things not to be accepted. Even in a group of Christians, there's some things you're better off not going down that route. Amen. Amen. I'm not going to be ugly, but I'm going to say this. We were real protective of our children. We didn't let them go spend the night with just everybody. Matter of fact, we almost didn't let them spend the night with hardly anybody. Now we're reaping that. They never get to spend the night with us. Amen. But even in your own family, I'm telling you, you don't ever know what is lurking in the mind and in the heart of individuals. Even in a church sometimes. Amen. Amen. Listen, boys and girls, boys even don't need to be slipping off around behind the church and getting alone in some dark place. Amen. Boys and girls don't need to be doing that. Girls and girls don't need to be doing that. Amen. Matter of fact, I say, boys and girls, don't get out of your mom and dad's sight. But I say to mom and daddy, don't let them out of your sight. Don't let them out of your sight. There's all kinds of wickedness in our world. And sometimes there may even be Canaanites among us. Amen. You say, what do you know? I don't know, but I know the heart of men and women. I know what the Bible says. I know the message God laid on my heart. Amen. And he said there's some things you're going to have to refuse. Amen. Maybe they are watching that on television. That don't mean you ought to. Right. Amen. 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 Maybe they are wearing shorts. That don't mean you ought to. Right. Amen. Amen. Maybe they are. Whatever. I mean, I'm just throwing things out there. Amen. And I'll guarantee you some of it hits, by the way. Amen. Maybe they are doing that. That don't mean you have to. As a matter of fact, you'd probably be better off refusing some things. That's what he said here to this church or this group coming out of Israel or out of Egypt heading into Canaan land. And it's for our example, by the way. It's for our example. Some things ought to be refused. Amen. What they were going to do, you know, they were going to allow some people to stay, dwell in the promised land that still practice immorality. God told them not to, but they're going to. And God knew they were going to. And God said, don't you do what they're doing. Amen. Don't you go the way they're going. Amen. The Jews were warned again and again not to repeat their mistakes, not to adjust to living in that similar manner. Amen. Amen. I heard a preacher not all that long ago talking about in their church. He said, this is a few years ago. He said at that time, there wasn't a single family in their church that had a television. Not one. It was a smaller church. He said there wasn't a single family in their church even had a television. He said him and his family bought I don't remember if it was a television or a monitor, and started watching movies because they could, quote unquote, monitor it. They could control it. They got another young family from the church to come start on Fridays or Saturdays, whatever, sometime of the night, to come in and participate in the same thing. And he said just in a period of time, the pastor called him and said, we're going to have a men's meeting. We're going to have to deal with this one particular family because they're watching all kinds of X-rated, R-rated, wicked stuff. He said, I found out about it. And he said, when I bring him on the carpet, he's going to implicate you because you're the one that got him to watching those G-rated movies. Are you following me? He said, I had to say I'm guilty. He said, I didn't introduce the bad thing to him. Well, oh man, you hear gateway drugs. I'm telling you, there's all kinds of gateway drugs into television and Hollywood and immorality. Amen. All kinds of gateway opportunities into some of that. Amen. You say, preacher, what do you watch? I don't watch none of it. Amen. I'd advise you not to watch. Well, that's a double negative. Don't watch any of it. Amen. Beck and Wilkes County would say none of it. Don't watch any of it. Amen. Amen. That's right. All right. Well, let me get back to my point. Some things are to be refused. There are some people that go to church, claim to be Christians, but they don't reveal the fruits of a Christian life. Those people are not to be followed. Amen. Neither should their ways be accepted or repeated. all through the New Testament. I'm talking about New Testament. I'm not talking about just in Leviticus. All through the New Testament. He said, mark them. Mark them. What does that mean? Does that mean write them off? No, it means pay attention to them. Beware. That's what he's talking about. Amen. Beware. Amen. And he says, don't follow them. Don't go their ungodly, immoral way. Amen. Amen. Well, let me give you some more. I talked about some things are to be unlearned, some things are to be refused. Number three, he tells us what to reject. In verse 6 through 23, he gives us a list of things to reject. Now, this is where I'm going to deal with these verses. Look at the first one is from verse 6 through 19. I think that's 14 verses if I count it right, from 6 through 19. Look what he says. I'm going to read them. Let none of you approach to any that is near of kin to him to uncover their nakedness. I am the Lord. The nakedness of thy father or the nakedness of thy mother shalt thou not uncover. She is thy mother. Thou shalt not uncover her nakedness. The nakedness of thy father's wife shalt thou not uncover. It is thy father's nakedness. The nakedness of thy sister, the daughter of thy father, or daughter of thy mother, whether she be born at home or born abroad, even their nakedness shalt thou not uncover. The nakedness of thy son's daughter or thy daughter's daughter, even their nakedness shalt thou not uncover, for theirs is thine own nakedness. The nakedness of thy father's wife's daughter, begotten of thy father, she is thy sister, thou shalt not uncover her nakedness. Thou shalt not uncover the nakedness of thy father's sister, she is thy father's near kinswoman. Thou shalt not uncover the nakedness of thy mother's sister, she is thy mother's near kinswoman. Woman. Thou shalt not uncover the nakedness of thy father's brother. Thou shalt not approach to his wife. She is thine aunt. Thou shalt not uncover the nakedness of thy daughter-in-law. She is thy son's wife. Thou shalt not uncover her nakedness. Thou shalt not uncover the nakedness of thy brother's wife. She is thy brother, or it is thy brother's nakedness. Thou shalt not uncover the nakedness of a woman and her daughter. Neither shalt thou take her son's daughter or her daughter's daughter to uncover her nakedness, for they are her near kinswomen. It is wickedness. Neither shalt thou take a wife to her sister to vex her to uncover her nakedness beside the other in her lifetime. Also thou shalt not approach unto a woman to uncover her nakedness as long as she is put apart from her or for her uncleanness. Do you think God's got a problem with nakedness? Wonder why he said so much about nakedness. I read 14 verses, if I counted right, 24 times in those 14 verses, God said, don't go uncovering nakedness. Amen. He has a problem with nakedness. Matter of fact, this section of Scripture says more about nakedness than any other section of Scripture in the Bible. Again and again, God says, don't. Amen. Don't. Somebody else's wife, don't somebody else's husband, don't somebody's son or somebody's daughter, somebody's granddaughter, somebody's grandson, your aunt, goes down all this. He said, don't go looking on their nakedness. Amen. Now, he's precisely speaking about looking on their nakedness, discovering or uncovering their nakedness of those that are related to you. We're living in a day, you don't have to uncover nakedness. They've already uncovered it for you. Yeah. Especially in warm weather. Amen. They'll uncover it for you. But that doesn't mean you ought to be looking on it. Amen. Doesn't mean you ought to be going after it. That's what he's talking about here. Amen. Not going after that. And he talks about, by the way, he's not just talking about nakedness. He's talking about sexual sins. You understand that, especially adults. You understand, don't go in unto them. Don't bring them unto you. Don't discover their, and all that. He's talking about sexual sins. Can I say this? Sexual sins predominate when there's a lot of nakedness. Amen. When they start wearing their slits. When they start wearing their short skirts. When they start unbuttoning their tops. Amen. Amen. When they start cutting off the sleeves. Amen. Amen. That's just talking about women. How about men showing their little old legs? God help us. Amen. Amen. I know verses men have used in the past that God takes no pleasure in the legs of man. And any man that does, there's something sick with him. Amen. I understand that's not what he's not talking about shorts in that case, but he is talking about uncovering nakedness. He said, if you show your thigh, you show nakedness. That's what he said in the book of Isaiah. That's what he said in the book of Isaiah. You uncover the thigh, you've uncovered nakedness. Amen. Amen. Well, I look up some of these words because he uses the word uncover right here. He uses that word. And it's Strong's number 1540. Here's what it means. It means to denude. We understand that. To strip. To reveal, to advertise. That's what it means. That, look it up in Strong's Concordance. To advertise. To disclose, to discover, to publish, or to uncover. Amen. Can I say to you that Christians have absolutely no business going around, even when there's children in their home, going around uncovered. Amen. What you do in the privacy of your bedroom ought to stay in the privacy of your bedroom. Amen. Amen. And he says marriage is honorable in the bed, undefiled, but whoremongers, adulterers, God will judge. Amen. Amen. Don't be running around naked in front of your kids. And don't let your kids run around naked in the house. Or even worse than that, outside the house. Well, they're innocent. I realize they are, but there's perverts everywhere. There's Canaanites everywhere. And they get used to running around naked, by the way. Amen. They get used to that. You ought not get used to it. They ought to get used to covering up. Amen. They ought to get used to being modest. Even little girls need to learn how to sit. Amen. Even little boys ought to know how to keep long pants on. Amen. Keep their shirt on. Yes, sir. Amen. Amen. I don't preach this way every time, but when I do, I try to do like Brother Milby said. He said, you don't have to hit it every time, but when you hit it, try to knock it over the fence. Amen. Amen. Deal with it. And by the way, we got to. If we don't, it creeps in on us. Amen. We see it creeps in on us. You know why? Because we've got used to living in Canaan around Canaanites. Amen. Amen. I know some Christians wear their bikinis. I know that, but you don't have to because it's showing nakedness. It's not any more than underwear. Amen. You might say waterproofed. It ain't even waterproofed. Well, preacher, what do you expect us to swim in? Clothes. Amen. You say, well, then I just wouldn't swim. Then don't swim, but don't get naked. Amen. All right. That's going over like a cement chicken, Brother Steve. Amen. Amen. Well, God said, don't go around taking your clothes off. Amen. I'm not an example, but I know how we lived. And my boys have never seen me with my shirt off. Never. They've never seen their mama with her shirt off or her in her underwear. They've never seen that. Amen. Now I realize if you go to the military, you're going to see something because they want to strip down those inhibitions and they want to get you. But by the way, inhibitions are a good thing when you cover up like you ought to cover up. Amen. It's a good thing. And people putting pictures on the internet that ought never be put on the internet. Amen. Amen. Some people not only need to put clothes on their body, they need to put clothes on their pictures. Amen. Amen. Well, Lord help us. Don't go around with short skirts, splits that reveal the leg, open blouses, reveal nakedness, bathing suits, bikinis, all that. Don't go around with that kind of stuff. Amen. Now, I say it's not a sin for babies. It's not a sin for babies to be naked. I understand they got to change their diaper and use that kind of thing. But listen, and I know they don't lust after one another. No, they don't. But again, I go back to that. You got perverts out there. And even other little boys and girls don't need to see that kind of stuff. Amen. Because they're curious enough as it is. Amen. Amen. Well, here's what he's saying. He said, don't uncover their nakedness. So that's the first thing he said that we need to reject is nakedness. Amen. Reject nakedness. We was on our way to church this morning. Saw a fella out trimming his hedgerow. He's on a ladder, no shirt, little old pair of boxer shorts, what it looked like. out there trimming his hedge. By the way, on the Lord's day. Amen. Now, I guarantee you, if Brother Duncan, me and you went and knocked on his door and invited him to church, he's probably a church member somewhere. Now, he wasn't in church this morning. Or if he was, if he got done trimming his hedgerow, decided to run to church, I hope he put some clothes on before he streaked. Amen. I thought about sending him, listen, don't look, Ethel. But it was done too late. Amen. Amen. And you know it's right. I mean, you can't go anywhere without seeing that kind of stuff. Here's what he said. Don't let it be you they're seeing. Amen. Now, I'm not saying that it's all right for you to look again. It's not. But I'm saying don't let it be you that's doing that kind of stuff. Amen. That's what he said. Don't uncover their nakedness. Don't go after those things. Amen. Well, let me see. I thought I looked up another word there. Maybe I'll get it here in another way. Look at verse 20. At verse 6 through 19 dealt with all that nakedness. I mean, man alive. I mean, look like he didn't want you looking at anybody's nakedness but your wife. Reckon that's right? I'd say that is right. Amen. Or your husband, whatever the case is in that. All right. Verse number 20 deals with illicit sex. He said, neither, or moreover, thou shalt not lie carnally with thy neighbor's wife to defile thyself with her. That's talking about adultery or fornication. She's not your wife. She's your neighbor's wife. Amen. Now, she's married, so it'd be adultery on her part. If you're unmarried, it'd be fornication on yours. If you're married, it's adultery on both of you. Amen. And he's saying, don't do that. Now, we're living in a day when it's common. It's common. People have affairs, think very little about it. Amen. Illegitimate affairs produce children that are then called illegitimate. I've said it before. It's not the child that's illegitimate. It's the affair that's illegitimate. The parents are not legitimate parents because they're not doing it proper. That's what that means. It's not legal. It's not proper. Amen. That child is, he or she's a legitimate child. Amen. They are actually a child. They couldn't help how they got in this world. Amen. Little's thought about the damage that it does to that child or society. Little's thought about the demoralization or the depression that often comes along with those things. Amen. I'm saying people shack up with one another. This is the way I wrote it. People shack up, hook up, and split up and think nothing of it. Amen. Shack up, hook up, and split up and think nothing of it. Amen. Christians ought not watch movies or television that promotes that kind of stuff, glamorizes that kind of stuff. You ought not read novels that promote and glorify that kind of stuff. Amen. You ought not listen to music that glorifies. You say, what kind of music? Country music, rock music, pop music, rap music. I hate to even use the word music with some of that. Amen. Though they glamorize, promote shacking up, hooking up, and breaking up. Amen. Then, I'll just plug this and I'm moving on. When people do get caught up in that, because it's not making it right, but sometimes young people, by the way, and when they have opportunities that they probably shouldn't have, young people get caught up in it. You can build a fire that you can't hardly put out. Amen. You just keep stoking coals on it. Amen. Amen. I know it just starts out with hugging or starts out with holding hands. Amen. Goes to kissing. Goes to petting. And it goes further and further and further. You build a fire you can't put out. And when that happens, listen to me, Christian adults shouldn't snicker at it. Shouldn't hide their hands. Yeah. Shouldn't say, well, that boys will be boys. Amen. Shouldn't say, well, young people going to do what young people going to. No, y'all say it's wrong. It's wrong. Amen. I'm glad there's forgiveness. I'm not trying to beat people over the head. But again, don't fall for the trap. It's going to hurt you if you do. You're going to have scars. There's things I've said already that some of you have been hurt. And I don't mean to hurt you. But and by the way, it's not me. And it's not the truth that's hurting you. It's the past. But thank God everybody don't have to have that past. Thank God it is in the past and not in the present. Hallelujah. Amen. And if there's any of it in the present, I hope it gets exposed. Amen. The quicker, the better. Amen. Amen. There's some things, there's some band-aids, you just need to rip it off. You can't just pull it off slow. Amen. And there's some things God just needs to rip the cover off of. Amen. Amen. It'll hurt for a while, but it'll get better when you get right about it. Amen. Don't say, well, everybody's doing it. No, everybody's not doing it, and people shouldn't do it. Amen. Amen. Sin ought to be treated as sin, even if it happens to be your son or daughter or mine. Amen. Sin ought to be treated as sin. So he's talked about avoid or refuse nakedness. He's talking about avoid or refuse illicit sex. Number three, he talks about sacrificing babies. Look at verse 21. Don't you reckon that sort of follows in line? Amen. And thou shalt, look at verse 21, and thou shalt not let any of thy seed pass through the fire to Molech, neither shalt thou profane the name of thy God. I am the Lord. You've heard the stories more than likely. The God, they had Molech, some they had other names, but Molech, he names him right here. Molech was a god, they claimed, that was built. He was built seated. It was a god that was built seated. His legs spread apart a little bit. His arms spread apart a little bit. And they built a fire between his legs. And they laid babies in his arms. And they sacrificed their babies to their idol gods. I don't mean this to be crude, but I'm going to hit it while I'm there. There's a lot of fires between people's legs that cause them to sacrifice babies. You ought to get out of that idolatrous, wicked practice. Amen. Get away from that kind of stuff. Amen. Amen. Stay away from it. Don't feed the fire. Amen. Stay away from it. These heathens actually... Sometimes they say they'd get that fire so hot that they couldn't get up there to lay their babies. They'd pitch their babies. That's talking about through the fire. They'd pitch their babies to that false god. That's what abortion's doing, by the way. A lot of these women having affairs, they're wanting to be able to, they don't want to have to suffer the consequences of their night of fun, their night of revelry, their night of rebellion. Amen. You say you're preaching to the woman pretty hard. Well, she says it's her right. I realize there's a man in the wrong too. I realize that. But the part we're dealing with here is that sacrificing of the babies. He don't even have a right to say anything about it anymore in our society. Amen. I get stirred up about this stuff. Don't you think something is crazy? If she decides to keep that baby, he's going to have to pay for it the rest of his life. But if she decides to kill the baby, he don't have a word to say. Something wrong with that. If he's responsible, and he is, by the way, responsible, and he ought to be responsible, and he ought to pay, and if he don't pay, he's worse than an infidel. That's what the Bible says. Amen. If he don't support his own family, don't take care of his own family, then he's worse than an infidel. That's what the Bible says. He produced that child. She produced that child. They ought to at least give that child a chance to live and produce something of value. Amen. Amen. One more thing while I'm there about sacrificing babies. Here's what I believe. I believe that birth control is a private matter between a husband and his wife. I don't believe unmarried people need to be on birth control. I realize that could be hormone treatment. I understand that. But I'm talking about for the purpose of birth control. They shouldn't be needing to control birth if they're not married. Amen. If they are, then there's a problem there. Amen. But when I say this about, it is a private matter between a husband and his wife about how many children they have and all that. And that's between them and God. And I think you ought to pray about it. I'm not just saying, well, whatever does it, no, you ought to pray about it. You ought to ask God about it. But I do believe there's some birth control that is idol worship. They don't want babies because they want to be able to go on their way. They want the pleasures and the profit of marriage, but they don't want what they call the penalty. By the way, babies are not penalties. Babies are blessings. Amen. If you get the idea that babies are penalties, you got the wrong idea about it. Not as pro-life as we think we are. Amen. Well, let me get off of that. I keep lugging them cement chickens. Amen. Maybe here's one you can say, amen. If you can't, I'll be nervous about you. Verse number 22. Thou shalt not lie with mankind as with womankind. It is abomination. That's the first time he's used that word in this text, by the way. Now, I don't know if you noticed in verse number, let me find it. Verse number 17, he had a little phrase at the end of that about all that nakedness. He said, it is wickedness. It is a little different. Wicked is a little different from abomination. Wickedness means it's bad, it's ungodly, it's defiling, and you ought to see it that way. But abomination means it makes you want to puke. Amen. Brother Sammy said, make you want to vomit. He spelled vomit with a C at the end of it. Make you want to vomit. That's what he'd say. Amen. Amen. That's what abomination means. And we understand that's talking about sodomy. Man with woman. I mean, mankind like womankind. Amen. He's dealing with one side of it in that particular text, but both sides of it's wrong. But he's dealing with it very specifically. Look at it again, verse number 22. Thou shalt not lie with mankind as with womankind. It is abomination. Now, I believe what he's saying is that man and woman are supposed to be together under the right circumstances. I understand that. But there are no proper circumstances for a man to be with a man. None. And you understand when I say to be with a man, you understand what I'm talking about. No circumstances that it's right for a man to be with a man. I don't think it's right for a woman to be with a woman either, but he's dealing with that specific. And here's what he says. He says, it is abomination. Well, preacher, I just think it whatever they want to do, as long as they're happy, then you're wrong for endorsing what God said was an abomination. Amen. And I could trace that all the way back to the fornication or the adultery. You're wrong if you say, well, I know it's not right, but I just want them to be happy. It's wrong. God said it was wickedness. Amen. That man with a woman he doesn't supposed to be with is wickedness, and a man with a man is abomination. Amen. It even makes God sick. Amen. Now I know we call that unnatural. The Bible says even nature itself teaches that it's a shame for a man to have long hair. Amen. That's not talking about sodomy. That's not saying that a man is a sodomite. But he says there's some things nature itself will tell you. That's what he's saying. Some things nature itself will tell you. By the way, ladies, when your hair starts falling out, most women, it falls out in droves, buddy. I mean, you get, it clogs every drain and everything in the world. But anyway, it just falls, and you don't like it. You say, oh no, my hair's falling out. And you got plenty to spare. Hallelujah. You know why it bothers you that it's falling? Because nature itself tells you that a woman's not supposed to run around with her head shaved. You ought to be able to say amen right there. Amen. Now, I realize if they're on chemo and radio, that kind of stuff, I understand that. But usually in those cases, they'll at least put on a wig because nature itself teaches that a woman ought to have long hair. And nature itself teaches that a man ought not have long hair. I'll just plug this one. Nature itself tells you that a man ought not have his pants hanging down where his drawers are showing. Nature itself will tell you that. Yeah. Listen, I heard Matthew Morgan say this one, and I thought it was good. He said, you young ladies, you see a young man with his pants hanging down like that, don't marry him. Because if he's too sorry to support a pair of pants, he'll be too sorry to support a wife and family. Amen. I think that is right. Well, I got off topic here a little bit, but there's some things to be refused. Amen. Refused. There's one more here. He talks about bestiality. This stuff is so sickening, so sad. But he said, listen, you're going in a land, it's going to be there. And it's in our land today. Verse 23, here's what he said. Neither shalt thou lie with any beast to defile thyself therewith. Neither shall any woman stand before a beast to lie down thereto. It is confusion. Amen. That's talking about sexual perversion with animals. Amen. Now, I'm not against you petting your dog, but I talked about you can build a fire you can't stop. That fornication sometimes starts with kissing, so don't be kissing on Fifi. Amen. Don't be kissing on dogs and cats and porpoises, goldfish. Listen, and we laugh about it and we ought to, but we're living in a society, don't think nothing wrong with it. And they're going to push it. You watch this whole sodomite agenda, this whole perversion agenda. They're coming down. It will be animals with people. If you get to pick your gender, you ought to get to pick your animal status, whatever it is. Well, I'm a dog today and I'll be a cat tomorrow. God help you. Amen. All right. Let me give you the last time. I'm almost done. He tells us what to reject. Verse 24 through 30. That's finishing up the text. Let's read verse 24 through 30. Here's what he said. Defile not yourself in any of these things. Don't get yourself dirty in this stuff, is what he's saying. Any of it. Nakedness is where it started. Illicit sex moved on. Amen. Sacrificing babies moved on. Sodomite perversion moved on. Bestiality moved on. And that may be the end of it. But he said, don't defile yourself. I'm reading now verse 24. Defile not ye yourselves in any of these things. For in all these, the nations are defiled, which I cast out before you, and the land is defiled. Therefore I do visit the iniquity thereof upon it, and the land itself vomiteth out her inhabitants. I'm telling you, it even makes our country sick, all this mess going on. Amen. Verse 26, ye shall therefore keep my statutes and my judgments. Amen. Don't make your own. Don't adopt theirs. Listen to mine. You see that? Ye shall therefore keep my statutes and my judgments and shall not commit any of these abominations. Now that's plural. Not just sodomy. Amen. Shall not commit any of these abominations. Let me find my place. Neither any of your own nation, nor any stranger that sojourneth among you, for all these abominations have the men of the land done, which were before you, and the land is defiled, that the land spew not you out also, when ye defile it, as it spewed out the nations that were before you. For whosoever shall commit any of these abominations, even the souls that commit them, shall be cut off from among their people. Therefore shall ye keep mine ordinance, that ye commit not any one of these abominable customs, which were committed before you, and that ye defile not yourself therein. I am the Lord your God. Amen. Now, here's what I believe, and I know this church has practiced it in the past, and I've practiced it at Vision. I'm not glad that it happened, but sometimes some things have to be put out of the congregation. Sometimes some people have to be put out of the congregation. When they're committing those things, he said, they don't let them stay in the congregation. Now he's talking about a nation, I recognize that. And our nation used to have laws against sodomy, for example. They're still on most books, they just don't enforce them. They're too busy trying to save little animals and let little boys and girls be abused right and left. Amen. Well, these things that he talked about here, they ought to be outlawed. They ought to be condemned by civil government. But even if they're not, here's what he said, even if they're not, Christians ought to stay away from those things. Amen. We ought to abstain from these sins. God gives us the key. He gives us the key how to abstain from them. In each of these seven verses, verse 24 through 30, these seven verses, God uses the word defile or the word abomination, or both in some of the verses. He uses the word defile or the word abomination. I looked those words up. I knew there's something there. He used the word defile six times in these seven verses. Here's what it means. It means to pollute, to contaminate, or to be foul, to make to stink. That's what it's talking about. Then the word abomination is found four times in these seven verses. And it means disgusting, aberrance, to cause to vomit. That's what it means. Amen. Now here's what he's saying. Don't let these things appear appealing to you. Don't let these things appear glamorous to you. Amen. Don't let these things appear something to chase after. Amen. Now, our kids growing up, we didn't allow posters of heathens on the wall. But if I had allowed a poster of any heathen, it wouldn't have been somebody like Michael Jackson. Limp-wristed, child-molesting, Jehovah Witness, Michael Jackson. And I'm not just picking on him, but you'd be surprised at people that play his music today and are members of independent Baptist churches. They get all excited to hear him squeal like a girl. Prance around like a sodomite. Amen. I hope you don't think I'm being mean, but if you do, just think I'm being mean, but I'm not trying to be mean. I'm trying to lay some things out, amen, and preach the truth of the Word of God. There's some things that we ought to say, we're not going that route. We're refusing that. Amen. Amen. We're refusing. Listen, if Michael Jackson, I hope he got saved before he died. I do hope he got saved before he died. Because if he didn't, he knows there's a literal burning hell, even though his religion told him there wasn't. I'm not happy that anybody dies in their sin. I don't care how perverted they are. Personally, I hope Adolf Hitler got saved before he died. But I doubt it. But I'm not going to have a poster of Adolf Hitler, and I'm not going to have a poster of Michael Jackson. Amen. And we ought not be promoting these movies and these songs and all these album covers and all that stuff that's being promoted in our world today. I go back, American Idol, you ought not have time for that foolishness. Amen. Well, instead of letting these things appear glamorous or appealing to us, Christians should think about the disgustingness of their sin. We shouldn't even be curious or inquisitive about it. Amen. It's defiling, that's what he said. It's disgusting. That's what he said. Defiling, he uses that word, and abominable, he uses that word, defiling and disgusting. It ought to cause us to feel like puking. Not just sodomy. It didn't start with sodomy. It started with nakedness. You say, well, he's talking about illicit sex, but it started with nakedness. It started with running around with your shirt off. Amen. It started with just, well, we're on vacation. Nobody will ever know. Yeah, God knows. And you'd be surprised people out yonder. And they may not know you're supposed to be a Christian, but they know that's not how Christians are supposed to do. Amen. Some of them don't know that, but they should know that. Amen. Amen. Well, Solomon gave his son some good advice about how to stay away from all that. Here's what he said in Proverbs 23, verse 17. I'm not going to have you turn. I'll just read it. He says, let not thine heart envy sinners, but be thou in the fear of the Lord all the day long. Amen. Don't let your heart envy sinners, but be thou in the fear of the Lord all the day long. Amen. Now, I'm closing. I'm going to go some New Testament verses. I'm not going to have you turn them. I'm going to read them. Many of them you know already. Well, I'll let you turn to Ephesians chapter number 5. I'll let you turn there. While you're turning there, I'll say some things. All right? Some verses that you do know. This one, these you probably do, but I'll read a few of them in Ephesians chapter 5. I'm not trying to put people under the law, but I'm trying to show you that God's law is right even when man's law is wrong. If anybody in this world should be holy, it's God's people. Amen. If anybody in this world today ought to live holy, it's people that call themselves Christians. Amen. Amen. All right. Titus chapter 3, you're in Ephesians 5. I'll get there in a minute. Titus chapter 3 verse 8 says, this is a faithful saying And these things I will that thou affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable unto men. Here's what he said. He said, I want you to maintain this constantly, that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. Now, I'm for door knocking and reaching sinners. I'm for spreading the gospel as much as you can. But that's not all. He said, there's something you ought to do constantly. You ought to constantly try to help those that have gotten saved learn how to live right. How to maintain good works. Amen. Amen. Matthew chapter 5 verse 16 said, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Amen. Now we're in Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse number 7. He says, be not ye therefore partakers with them, for ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Now here's some people being delivered. But he said, if you can go back to that, don't go back to it. You used to be that. Don't be that anymore. All right. Verse number 9. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. He said, there's some things people are doing you ought not even talk about. Amen. There was a man told a story at the camp this week. I told my wife. I felt like it was inappropriate. And maybe I was being judgmental. I just... She thought I was. Maybe I was. But he told a story, and I'm afraid some of these stories that they tell like that, rather than making sin look disgusting to people... To some young men, it may look glamorous, and they may wish they could say some of the things those men were saying. You understand what I'm talking about? There's some things you ought not even talk about. Now, I realize there's... Well, and let me just go back to this. I'll use my sermon today as an example. I've said some things today I don't say on a normal basis. I'd rather not have to say it, but you do have to say it sometimes. Amen. And when you do, then deal with it appropriately. Deal with it thoroughly. Amen. And let's receive it as such. All right. Ephesians chapter number 2. If you want to turn there, just be a couple pages, a few pages over. Ephesians chapter 2. Last text I'll read, verse 15 and 16. He says, that you may be harmless, or that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, in the midst of a conversation among whom you find. He said, you're living in a wicked world, but don't get contaminated by their wickedness. Let your light shine. Shine in the midst of a dark world. Amen. Can I say this? In a world of nakedness, keep your clothes on. In a world of immorality, keep your morals intact. In a world with low standards, keep your standards high. Amen. And you'll be thankful that you did. Let's all stand to our feet as they come with a song. One more plug I'm going to give. When I say about doing these things in this dark world, live for Jesus and point sinners to Christ. Amen. I said this at Vision years ago. Is in a meeting. As a matter of fact, well, it was to some of our people after we'd had our camp meeting, Jubilee. And some people had seen some things in others that they started incorporating into their life. By the way, sometimes even preachers' wives don't dress right. Amen. Sometimes they don't, their family doesn't always do right. They don't, and just because we have them in, we appreciate them, and maybe we're trying to help them. Maybe we're trying to work with them, but that doesn't mean you can adopt their standard. We're not living by their standard. We're living by this standard. The Word of God is the standard. Are you following me? Word of God to say, but I had to make the statement. Their vision one time, I said, we've got sinners in here, and we want them to be interested in Jesus, not interested in how low your blouse is. Amen. Why? Because we want them to have their mind on the heavenly things. They need some help. And we can distract them with our just thoughtlessness. Amen. By the way, you buy clothes at the store, you're probably going to have to work on them. Amen. When they say 30% off, they mean fabric. They don't have enough fabric in them. They don't mean price. The price is still too high. Amen. Amen. Heavenly Father, thank you for the Word of God. Lord, I've tried to preach, in a sense, a house cleaning sermon. And I felt like you laid on my heart. And I know the devil don't like it. And I know and have already experienced some backlash, not from the people of God, but just in the spirit. Last night, today already. Father, I don't want to hurt people. There's people hurting enough. But I sure don't want anybody that's not hurt to get hurt because they haven't been warned about the damage that these things do. Father, I pray that we'll take heed to the warning. Help us, dear God, as I said, keep our standards high. Help us, dear God, keep our morals high. Help us to let our light shine. Lord, protect us from being Pharisees. I don't want to be a Pharisee, and I'm not being a legalist because I'm not adding these things to salvation. But Lord, help us that are saved, those of us that are saved, to live like saved people ought to live. Help us to take a page from the scripture when he said, stand ye in the old paths and see. And he said, and ask for the old paths. Lord, some of our grandparents would roll over in their grave if they knew how people's dressing today and claiming to be Christian. They sure wouldn't think it's modest. They wouldn't think it's godly. Lord, help us to, and I'm not using them as an example. Well, they are an example, but they're not the standard. Lord, help us to look to you as the standard. Help us, Lord, to look to you and your word as the standard. And we'll thank you. I pray help some sinner to get saved. Help the saints to live clean and to glorify God. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. We're going to sing. If you need to come, give you that opportunity. Some have come and prayed. Some are praying in the pew. If you need to come and pray, I want to give you that opportunity.